Chapter 21. Catch Us If You Cannon. At dusk on Saturday, everyone gathers on the edge of the Echo Wood, dressed in dark clothing and toting their instruments. All except us guppies, who weren't allowed to bring anything. Musical Zombies is kind of like Capture the Flag, only instead of flags, you're supposed to capture seventh graders using charm spells. The students are divided into the four Mistwick classes. Arrows, Percussos, Cordos, and Librosos. Whichever of the four teams has the most of us guppies locked up in their camp at the end wins the game, and gets to claim the other class's desserts at every meal until Christmas.
"You mean we don't even get to play?" Jai groans. "What's the point if you're just going to be bait?"
"Are you kidding?" says an 11th grader. "The fact that we get to round up guppies is the best part."
I wave to Jai as he's led away with the rest of the Cordos. I hope he doesn't get charmed, because I don't know if Darby and I can play the ghost trap spell on our own.
"Got the sheet music?" I whisper to her.
She nods and pats her pocket. Our instruments, wrapped in protective plastic bags, are hidden deeper in the wood, where we stashed them earlier in the day. We follow the senior arrows into the woods, walking in silent single file. It's dark under the trees, and the seniors shush anyone who tries to talk. They don't want to give away the location of our camp. Above, the branches of the echo trees look like bony fingers, most of the leaves fallen by now. But even so, the sound of Cannon in D, the great summoning spell that protects the school, still echoes faintly in the branches. Then we hear a sudden roll of frantic drumbeats, and someone says, "It's Rebel Clef!" Rosa was right about her band. The minute they start playing, the whole Echo Wood fills with their music. The rock spell is dark and tense, the bass echoing in my bones, while the screeching guitar riffs wash over me like a swarm of spiders. Balls of fiery light drift through the trees, making the whole place a huge playground of shadows and light. The fireballs prowl around like they're looking for someone to devour, pulsing in time with the beat of the booming bass drum. Even though I know they're not real fire, just illusions, I still duck when one swoops overhead. Accompanied by the pounding tempo of Rebel Clef's spell, we reach Camp Arrow, a square clearing with torches burning at each corner and a sort of pen in the middle. That's where the older arrows will put the seventh graders they catch from Percusso, Cordo, and Librosso. Darby and I are branded with the other arrow guppies. The eighth graders solemnly paint red stripes on our faces that indicate we're bait. I shiver, even dressed in my Mistwick sweatsuit and jacket. The sky is cloudy and the wind restless, like it's going to storm later. The echo trees shudder and creak overhead. The place might be peaceful and beautiful in the daylight, but at night, with Rebel Clef's fireballs stalking the woods, it's like a nightmare. Us guppies are all wide-eyed and scared, but the older students are obviously loving every minute.
"Man, I'm glad I'm not in your shoes," says the eighth grader, painting my face.
"Thanks," I mutter.
"Listen up, guppies,"
yells Phoebe, our self-appointed arrow commander. She's got instruments hanging all over her. A piccolo in her hand, a flute case on her back, her belt holding a harmonica, a pan flute, and an ocarina.
"Your job is simple. Run and don't get caught. And you're on your own out there. It's against the rules for us seniors to stay too close to you. So if you hear a charm spell, go in the opposite direction. If they get too close and you get charmed, you'll spend the rest of the night as a zombie. And you'll be in charge of washing our dirty gym clothes the rest of term."
"This is a stupid game," Darby mutters.
"But if, at the end of the night, you're still charm-free," Phoebe adds, "you'll get full honors, access to the senior break room for the rest of the year."
We all perk up at that. The senior break room is way better than ours. Rumor has it they have free arcade games and ping pong tables. Then I remember Darby and I have more important business. Off through the trees, the Rebel Clef drummer starts a long drum roll.
"Almost time," Phoebe yells. "Loosen up, guppies!"
Around me, the other 7th grade arrows start panicking. George looks like he's about to pass out. Claudia is pale and frozen in place. But Darby looks fierce and focused. She meets my eyes and gives me a small, secret nod. I return it, my heart pounding as fast as the rebel clef drum. When the band launches into a loud, furious guitar solo, the older kids start shoving us toward the trees, screaming, "Run, run, run!" Darby finds me, grabs my hand, and pulls me into the woods. "We have to reach the rendezvous spot before any other teams find us," she says, "or we'll get charmed and lose our chance at pulling this off. And that chatty boyfriend of yours better not get himself caught." "He's not my..." But she's already sprinting away, and I have to race to catch up. We run through the woods, dodging the flaming balls and sticking to shadow, aiming for the place where Jai found me composing a few weeks ago, and where our instruments are hidden. He should be running from the Cordo camp now to meet us there. Suddenly I skid to a halt, grabbing Darby's hand. She pulls away. "What are you?"
"Shh. Listen."
I can hear a percusso playing a glockenspiel ahead, and I think they must be pretty committed to be this far out in the woods with such a big instrument.
"Charm spell,"
Darby whispers. I nod, and they're right between us and our instruments.
"Out of the way, guppies," calls a voice behind us.
We turn and nearly get bowled over by Phoebe, who's sprinting toward the hidden percusso. I wonder how she can run at all, carrying enough instruments to equip a small orchestra. She whips up her piccolo and blasts a freezing spell, blue light zinging from the opening of her instrument to speed through the trees, and we hear a startled shout ahead as the percusso spell cuts short. Phoebe lowers her piccolo and glares at us.
"Seriously, 2 minutes in and you're already almost getting caught."
"Jeez," Darby mutters, "it's only a game."
We dart past Phoebe as she splutters about how we're stupid kids who don't know the difference between a trumpet and a trombone. A short distance ahead, we pass the percusso, who's frozen in place by Phoebe's spell. She has a small glockenspiel in front of her, supported by a neck strap, but her fingers are locked on the keys, barely able to even twitch. Behind her is an unlucky Cordo 7th grader, his eyes wide and vacant in his trance state. I'll bet he was the first one caught tonight. He reminds me of Ruder when I charmed him out from under the coop.
"You won't get far,"
the percusso shouts at us, her voice strained as she struggles to move her frozen lips.
"This is our territory."
"These guys take this way too seriously,"
Darby says. "Maybe it's more fun when you're not the bait," I reply. She laughs, and I think that's the first time I've ever heard her do that. We charge on through the trees, stopping every now and then to get our bearings. Wherever we go, we can hear Rebel Clef's music like a distant heartbeat, pumping through the echo wood. The trees faintly resonate along, but this far out from the band, the spell sounds slightly warped. And there's a funny tune mixed in, a high, eerie tone. Darby and I slow to a stop. An angel steps out from behind a tree ahead of us, playing a deep, haunting melody on her viola. Her long, dark hair shimmers around her shoulders. Her spell floats around her, airy, white curls of magic that make her shine. The melody is entrancing, velvet notes pouring into my mind and filling it with soft, warm light, light that obliterates all thought. A feeling of peace suffuses me, and I feel all my muscles relax. My worries release, carried away by that smooth current of magic. The violist's dark eyes seem to glow as she approaches us. Closer and closer she gets, until she's standing between us, smiling over her viola. Darby stares too, eyes wide, mouth open. When the Cordo girl walks on, Darby and I follow. Slowly, she leads us through the trees, her spell unending, her magic delicate and bright. White, wispy lights caress my face and wind in my hair, drawing me along. My head is full of pleasant, fuzzy warmth, and all I want is to keep feeling the way I'm feeling right now, forever. I've never been so free of pain and struggle and worry.
Dimly, I remember that I was supposed to be going somewhere, to do something important, but I can't recall what it was. And now it seems so small and silly. Someone ahead of us shouts, a boy waving us over. He seems happy to see us. I don't really care.
In here, says the boy. Hurry, hurry! That's two at once, Rhea. Amazing!
The girl leads us into a fenced area surrounded by torches. In the firelight, she's even more beautiful. I want to lie at her feet and profess my undying loyalty. Then she lowers her viola, and the spell breaks. Ugh, she moans. My fingers feel raw. Darby and I blink at each other blearily. My head clears as the last of the charm fades away, and a feeling of horror sweeps over me as I realize the position we're now in.
No,
Darby groans, rubbing her head. This can't be happening.
Oh, it's happening, says the Cordo girl cheerfully. You two were easy pickings.
My turn, says the boy. He looks at his teammate. Watch these two while I go hunt.
She nods and perches on the fence. The boy closes the gate and heads into the woods, lifting a guitar and starting to strum the most beautiful tune.
Snap out of it, Jones, Darby yells.
I blink, startled, and then clap my hands over my ears. Is this how Ruder felt every time I charmed her out from under a coop or down from the branches of a tree? Like her mind had been stolen and played with like putty in someone else's hands? I've got a lot of apologizing to do to that chicken. The Cordo girl, Rhea, laughs.
You might as well get comfortable. It's going to be a long night.
Miserably, I sit in the corner. Darby paces in front of me, looking furious. We could sneak out, I whisper. She shakes her head.
She'll just charm us before we can go three steps.
Groaning, I lie back on the loamy forest floor and stare up as a Rebelclef fireball passes overhead. Is it my imagination? Or does that thing have a face? It looks like a fiery, grinning skull. I wouldn't put it past Rosa, going the extra mile to scare us all. The fireball passes over and straight through a tree outside the fence. I glance at Rhea, just to see if she might be looking the other way so we can sneak off, but she's looking right at me. She smiles and blows me a kiss. And I sit up straight, stomach turning over. Rhea! Rhea, behind you! But Rhea only rolls her eyes.
Nice try, Guppy.
No, really, the tree. The tree is on fire. Darby looks up and gasps. I thought the fireballs were just illusions, but where it hit the tree, flames are now spreading. The leaves are going up in smoke, and burning branches crash to the ground. Rhea must sense the light because she finally turns and then falls off the fence with a yelp.
Fire! She screams. Fire!
She turns and runs in the other direction as the fire jumps from one tree to the next, forming a massive curtain of flames. I stare at it, taking one step forward and sniffing the air. Huh. Vanilla.
Are you crazy? Darby yells. Come on, it'll be here in seconds.
She pulls on my sleeves, but I push her away and grin. This way. While she gapes, I run toward the fire and straight through it.
It's an illusion, I shout. It's just like the fire from the planting ceremony, which everyone had thought was real. There's no heat coming from these flames at all.
I see Darby hesitate on the other side of the fire, but then she must make up her mind because she sprints toward me. Even so, she gives a little shriek when she passes through the flames. Told you, I say. Listen. Someone is playing a violin ahead, and I have a good idea who it is.
Jai, I shout when he walks out of the trees.
He grins as he wraps up the spell, then takes a low bow. Behind us, his fire flickers out, and the trees, which had looked charred and smoldering, are back to their normal state.
I got to the meeting spot and you guys weren't there, he says. Figured you got yourself zombified, so you're welcome.
Darby grunts. I think she's embarrassed, since she'd been so sure he would be the one to get charmed.
Come on, she says. We've lost too much time already.
I high-five Jai as we follow her into the trees.
That was amazing. You should have seen that girl take off.
He shudders. This game sucks. Those seniors are maniacs. We're going to need therapy after.
Let's go, Darby growls.